All right. Rat Pack Sports Show Live, Rat Pack Radio, WRPR. We are on the eve of opening night, NFL. And we're going to, get into these matchups. Boss Hogg will be on. We'll talk some fantasy football. I'm not sure if he got me the article yet on the starts and sits, but as soon as he do, it will go post. It will post. I will post it up on the deal, on the thing, on the website. Again, just going over some stuff here. And then we should have William Graves calling in here soon. I'm gonna start finding some pokes. But I know I've been talking some football. It is Wednesday night, so I'm not going to be shy. I do have AEW on the screen beside me, and I am watching some AEW wrestling. Was in a conversation with some guys, and just on a wrestling standpoint, and this is a younger kid. Let's see. I've been out of high school 25 years. Yeah, I'm old. But I've been out of, that's how long I've been out of high school. So I'm on this page talking with this young buck about wrestling. And he made a statement about AEW being trash. And, Tony Khan shouldn't even be an owner of a wrestling franchise because of XYZ. And I'm like, well, for what it's worth, Vince McMahon in WWE, this is my personal opinion. A lot of people probably differ with me if they continue to watch, wrestling all these years. I've never been a real fan of WWE because I don't, the wrestling, it's not wrestling. Entertainment. It's entertainment to them. So all wrestling is entertainment, but at the same time, you want to make You want to make it believable to the person, people, to your fans that's watching it. You want to make it believable. You want these storylines to match up. You want it to be believable that these two wrestlers could, you know, could match up. And, you know, the results of it is legitimate. So, you want to make sure the theater in between ain't too much theater, but it's enough to where it gauges the app, you know, it gauges the viewership eyes and it's entertainment and it's entertaining. For a lot of years, you know, WWE spent more time in the ring running their mouth, in the back lot running their mouth, in the locker rooms running their mouth than they were in the wrestling ring. And then some of the matchups, you just weren't believable. Like, why would you have Rey Mysterio match up in the heavyweight division beating dudes like The Big Show? Why? Or a dude like Mark Henry, who, let's be real, legitimately, this man is the strongest man in the world. Legitimate. Like, there's no fake about that part. The dude won a strongman competition. So he's one of the strongest individuals in the world. And you got this dude that's been in wrestling forever. I'm not ever sure that Mark Henry has ever won a title in WWE. Let's see. Maybe he has. I probably wasn't watching it then. Let's see. I don't think he has in WWE, man. I'm almost positive. Since joining, okay. See, and this is the bull crap. Okay, so Mark Henry was a European champion one time, two-time world champion, having held the ECW in 2008. I guess he was in ECW in 2008, and then he held the WWE World Championship in 2011. So, he won literally one of the, you know, world's strongest man. And this dude was never, for his size and what he did as a wrestler, it's kind of like almost a letdown in his career. Because he should have been a lot more dominant in his career than he was. And this the whole thing that I didn't like about Vince was he catered too much to his superstars. Now, yeah, your superstars are going to be them dudes. They're going to hold the main events and they're going to do all the good, you know, all the good stuff like that. But at the same time, when you're running a wrestling promotion, and that's what WWE is, it's a wrestling promotion. You got to make sure your company can stand on its own, even if your main superstars aren't there. And for too many years, WWE leaned on heavily on their superstars. So the guys below never had a chance to work their way up. You had to be in that group. You had to be one of the fan favorites. And the one thing that I always admired, and I've watched wrestling all my life, outside of the years that I didn't watch wrestling because there was no legitimate wrestling company in my eyes. But WCW always did a great job of development of talent. They had their own training facility, the power plant. I don't know how many people remember the power plant, but that's where they did all their training. That's where they developed young wrestlers. That's the way they developed older. I mean, that's where everybody trained at. And they always had a good plethora of young talent, even though, you know, your main guys are your main guys. They always made sure if they got a guy in the wings that they think could potentially be a fan favorite or a main attraction or a great heel or a great guy, they would bring them guys up. They would use the superstars to get them over. And they always done that. And WWE never did that. Up until recently, Vince McMahon is like Jerry Jones and Al Davis. He's them type of dudes where he's gonna hold you back because he's still giving main events to washed up dudes. So with WCW, man, it wasn't like that. If you was that dude, you got your shot. If you was a fan favorite and you put in the work, you got your shot. And it was wrestling. You know, they spent more time in the ring wrestling than they did backstage and in the ring with a microphone. And that's why I watch wrestling for the, you know, entertainment. But at the same time, bro, I just want believable storylines. Like, and this ain't nothing against Jericho. Jericho has made a great career on his gimmick. But Chris Jericho started out in WCW a long time ago. And Jericho was that dude that was getting beat up all the time by the superstars. He was that guy where, you know, he would take a match and get the crap beat out of him and then show up back at, you know, whatever. Nothing's wrong with that. But if you spend too much time doing that, then you lose it other places. And I think, you know, that whole thing, just a whole cluster, you know what, because Vince just stay held true to his guys. You know, if your name was Triple H, you got whatever you want. Shawn Michaels, and I get it. Those are main guys, but at the same time, you got to build and develop other guys, and until recently, they hadn't done that. You know, they just haven't. And I believe a lot of fans tuned them out for a long time because the lack of developing a new heel or a new good person just wasn't there. And that is just that in a nutshell, man. You just, you know, take care of your business. And, you know, you do what you got to do, man. You got a good shot at, you know, having a long career and all that. So, Vince, well, not Vince, but, you know, WCW, I can name off a wrestler right now that a lot of people probably, you know, it go by the wayside, but they developed this dude. And they used one of their biggest superstars to pull it to move him over. And that dude, and I couldn't stand him. I couldn't stand him because of the feud that he had going on with another one of my favorite wrestlers. But if anybody remembered his name, you know. But his name is Jesus, just had a brain fart. Yeah, I did. Man. Man, I just lost it. It'll come back. It'll come back later. But, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring him on because he's been waiting patiently. And I know he got some stuff to talk about. Rat Pack Sports Show, NFL contributor, Mr. Everything. We're going to bring him in, William Graves. What's going on, man?
Man, you know, the what you were just saying what is, to me, is 100% spot on. And this is one of the reasons why I am glad that John Paul Lequi, otherwise known as Triple H, is actually he's actually at the forefront of moving this country forward, or this company forward. I'm actually excited for the WWE again, because Triple H, he understood what it takes to go through the gauntlet to actually become a superstar. Triple H, of course, actually wrestled in both promotions and everything. And, you know, the thing is that he understood the importance of bringing a training facility in, and I think that's why he did that. I think that bring in the training facility that they have in Orlando, Florida, and actually having an actual show type thing, much like what WCW Saturday Night was, and WC or Sunday Main Event and everything, because those were two shows where, I mean, you got a couple of mid-carders that were on like Raw and Thunder, and you had them in like main events and everything to kind of test them out on Saturdays and Sundays. And that's where I saw Triple H when he opened up the training facility in Orlando and brought in NXT. I do think that we are going to actually see the WWE get back to that type of era where we were in the Attitude Era with Stone Cold, The Rock, and everything. I do think that we are going to start seeing a better product out of the WWE. And I, for one, have not sat down and watched any of the programming yet. I'm sure Boss Hogg Sean Naylor has and everything. So if he actually comes on tonight, it actually be kind of interesting to get his viewpoint on it and everything. But much like you, after WCW kind of was sold out or whatever and everything, you know, I just kind of tuned it out. But yeah, you everything you said, man, that was pretty spot on.
Yeah, man, you know, it's a long time fan of the sport, you know. You've been watching it long enough, you see the, you know, you see what happened. No, she did say, yeah, so it is what it is, man. Hopefully, you know, you know, power, you know, come through and make sure that, you know, I think for one, as I said earlier with WWE, Vince was like Jerry Jones and Al Davis in a lot of ways. So with Triple H taking over, I don't have no problem with Triple H. I think Triple H, you know, one of the greatest, you know, wrestlers to do it. And he's done a great job.
Got trained by one of the greatest wrestling trainers of all time, the Killer Kowalski.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so we'll see. You know how things are, and then we'll just, you know, go from there. But appreciate you calling in, man. We finna go ahead and get into some. I talked a little bit of college, and I wanted to jump into some, you know, NFL because we do have a game tomorrow night.
Yes, we do.
And I think it's gonna be a good, you know, a good opening night game. Hopefully. Week one is a hit or miss. You just never know. It's just a matter of what happens. So Thursday night, tomorrow's matchup is actually between Buffalo and the Rams. And let me tell you, folks, this was almost the Super Bowl. Buffalo was not that far off from being in the Super Bowl. So this should be a really good matchup. I think Buffalo are returning a lot of, you know, players from last season where, you know, the Rams were in the Super Bowl. And they don't know how to. You know, they lost a lot of guys, so we'll see what they do. I like Buffalo in this matchup, though. I do like Buffalo for the upset. You know, week one, Super Bowl champions. It's going to be a whole spectacle. So, Buffalo come out and they hit them in the mouth early. They may not be able to wake up out of this sleep. So hopefully that's the case. But I would take Buffalo, you know, straight up if I was a bad man. And plus I got Trubisky, not Trubisky, but Josh Allen on a few of my fantasy teams. So I need them big numbers.
I am a betting man, and I am taking Buffalo tomorrow. Buffalo, for the last couple of years, has been kind of knocking on that door. And it's been kind of one of those little tap-tap knocks. You know, hey, we're here. Today or this year or this season, I fully expect them to kick the door in and kick it open. It pains me in one way to say this because I would really like to see our boys in Tampa maybe possibly win another Super Bowl. But man, you can't overlook Buffalo. If you told me right now that Buffalo was going to win the Super Bowl this year, I wouldn't even bat an eye. I really wouldn't. Buffalo, I know that they lost a couple of players, but I don't think it was that many. I think that they're returning almost 90% of their team, if not 95%.
Yeah.
And when you do something like that, man, look, it's hard not to put them as a Super Bowl contender. Right, like I said, I'm not saying that they're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that they're not. What I'm saying is if anybody came up to me and told me, hey, Buffalo's going to win the Super Bowl this year, I'd believe them. I really would. I would not laugh at them or anything. That Debo, that's about one of the that is probably one of the most complete teams in the NFL right now.
Now, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Going in last season, who was your Super Bowl picks?
Oh man, Debo, you gonna ask me that?
Yep.
I know I had Tampa going in the NFC because I had them going back to back. Oh man. Where's Boss Hogg when you need him?
Yeah, he had all this stuff written down, so.
Boss Hogg, we're going to need you to quit slacking and call in. You slacking a little too much, bro.
Well, the reason I was asking this is because there's a team out there. Man. That nobody's really talking about. And they have a really good roster. Cincinnati Bengals.
You know what? That could be your AFC championship game right there.
Now
Buffalo and Cincinnati.
Yeah, now is a lot of people looking at Cincinnati as maybe last year was like a Cinderella story and they shouldn't have been there. So they're not really picking them as a favorite, you know, coming out of the AFC because there's a lot of other teams that's, let's say, even more sexier, you know what I'm saying? To pick, you know. Obviously, you got the Bills, a healthy Baltimore Ravens team, always going to be in contention. You got the flavor of the month, Indianapolis Colts with a Matt Ryan. Which I'm gonna be the first. I'm gonna be the first one to say,
man,
we look at Matt Ryan in the NFC South as a guy that's, you know, washed up. Still, I'm not saying that.
No. Hold on.
No, listen.
No, time.
I'm saying
out.
We. I don't believe that.
Flag on the play. Oh, okay.
I'm not saying that, but a lot of NFC South fans, if you're not a Falcons fan, you don't think Matt Ryan's that good of a quarterback. We in all these groups, William. You hear these people talking.
So, I'm gonna let you finish what you gotta say
What I mean is this: the Colts, if they had a quarterback last season, they could have been a favorite out of the AFC. They're literally returning the same team with Matt Ryan. So, I think the Colts will probably be a sleeper pick out the AFC. Obviously, Tennessee Titans are established. They've been established for a while now. Can't get over the hump, but they've always been a favorite in the AFC. Then you got everybody's still, you know, looking at the Chiefs, but let's see what they look like without Tyreek Hill. Raiders are a sexy favorite because, you know, they got Adams and Carr is a year older. He was very good last season for the Raiders. Then you have the Chargers, and that's another team. So with all those teams with new looks and the sex, you know, the favorites and all of that, Cincinnati kind of gets, you know, dropped down the list a little bit. And I actually think that they could be better than last season because I'm going to be real. Joe Burrow might be the best quarterback in the AFC in about 2 seasons. That's how good this kid is. He is Joe. I call him Joe Cool. He's just like, you know, Joe Montana. Joe Montana, like, with his attitude and the way he go about the game, with his ability to throw the ball, his precision, his anticipation, his leadership. He's been the man since the day he stepped in Cincinnati. And last season, it ain't no mistake that he was able to lead that team to the Super Bowl. There's no mistake. He is probably the top one or two in the AFC. I even say he's better than, and a lot of people might say, man, you crazy, but he's better than Lamar Jackson. He's a better. Okay. He can throw the ball better than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Well, so here's my thing. The best offensive coordinator that the Atlanta Falcons had, and had they been smart enough and promoted him up to head coach when he was the offensive coordinator, they'd be a threat right now, today. I would be worried about the Atlanta Falcons. And that was Kyle Shanahan. Under yes. Kyle Shanahan, they made it all the way to the Super Bowl, and, well, we all know what happened there. But you go back and you look at the offensive coordinators that Atlanta ran through there. Mike Mularkey. Okay. Yeah, they made it through to the playoffs with him and everything and all that. He was an okay offensive coordinator. Then you have Steve Sarkisian, who anywhere that he went, let's face it, his offenses were not really all that great. Look at Texas right now. He's the head coach of the Texas Longhorns. Look at their offense. Man, dude, they're about to get blown out this weekend by Alabama. Oh. Then we could go and we could talk about your buddy, Mr. Mediocrity, and if it's not Mr. Mediocrity, it's Mr. I Destroy Offenses, Dirk Cotter. Dirk Cotter was the offensive coordinator twice for Atlanta before he came to the Bucs, and after he left the Bucs, he was the offensive coordinator right up until 2020. Then they brought in some assistant from Chicago. I'm sorry. This is Matt Ryan's fault that they can't get it right in the offensive coordinator section? Please. I've done already said that 90% of Jameis Winston's problem was Dirk Cotter. Plain, pure, and simple. And so if we're going to say that about our quarterback, well, when he was our quarterback, we gotta say the same thing about Matt Ryan. It's not Matt Ryan's fault that they couldn't put together a coaching staff to help to actually get him to that point. And you know what? I'm sorry, but had Deshaun Watson went to Atlanta,
oh man,
his career be over. Well, no, I can't say that. They probably would have done with Deshaun Watson like what Carolina did for a long time until they finally got a head coach in there to actually start building a team around him, and that was Cam Newton. I could see Atlanta riding on Deshaun Watson's on Deshaun Watson's coattails, expecting him to be Cam Newton. And yeah, they would have won games. They probably would have eventually even made it back to the Super Bowl. But man, those years that Carolina rode on Cam Newton's back, and Cam Newton was the only guy there, because they really, after Steve Smith left for Baltimore,
yeah,
and a couple of his other guys left, they really didn't do anything offensive wise until they brought in the head coach that drafted Christian McCaffrey. And I'm sorry, Atlanta would have done the same thing to Deshaun Watson. Kyle Pitts, pretty good tight end. All right, I say he's fair. They just drafted another wide receiver out of Alabama, but that was because what's his name decided he wanted to go and play Pete Rose and bet on games, which I don't understand. I don't understand why you do that, but yeah, it is what it is.
Caught, and get caught at that. Not just do it, but he did it and got caught. You just can't do that, man. It's like,
right.
I don't know, bro.
Well, but no, I'm sorry. Deshaun Watson's career would have been cut short.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, no. I'm sorry, man, but 90% of Matt Ryan's problem was that they had mediocre, and I'm being very nice at that, coaching staffs. Mm-hmm. And they still have a mediocre coaching staff. And no, I'm not saying this just because I'm a Bucs fan. I'm saying this I'm not a journalist. I suck at English. As a football person, I'm sorry, Falcon fans, but your team is mediocre. at best. Alter Blank, you and your president, Mr., and this pains me to say because I really like the guy, and I don't think he has a lot. I don't know if he has a lot to do with it, but Rich McKay is the president over there of the Falcons, and I'm really surprised he has allowed, I can't even say he's allowed because, again, I don't know how much say-so he has. But, Arthur Blank and whoever that general manager is over there, because ultimately, pretty sure it should be the GM's job to hire the personnel as far as coaching staffs and getting the players in.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that the president is overseeing the entire football business side of it. So I'm going to throw this on the GM, whoever it is over there. Man, you keep on putting together at best mediocre teams, and I'm sorry, but you can't put any of this on Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan, I think he's in a better place.
Yep, I agree.
I don't know if I'm ready to say that the Colts are a Super Bowl team. I don't know if I'm ready to say that yet. They definitely got pieces.
Yeah.
But I also see some holes.
Yeah, I think the Colts are in the conversation. If you want to talk about top teams in the AFC, teams that's ready to compete for that top team in the nation title. I think they're a team you have to talk about. Why? Because you have Jonathan Taylor, who hands down best running back in football. There's some other guys out there that are good, but Jonathan Taylor is hands down the best back in football. Between him and what's your boy from Tennessee? I always forget his name. The running back from Tennessee. What is his name?
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, Derrick Henry. Easy name, right? I always forget it. So even Derrick Henry, the gap now between him and Derrick Henry is very, very small. I give, a little bit of the A's to Taylor in a agility standpoint, ability, playmaking ability.
Taylor's younger.
Yeah, that too. But Derrick Henry.
Taylor's younger. And here's the other thing. If you look at how Tennessee kind of runs their offense.
Yeah.
And everything, Derrick Henry is that number one go-to guy. Even when Julio Jones was there, and even with A.J. Brown there, if you sit and you watch Tennessee is a run first team.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can actually call Indianapolis a run first team, because look, when I went and watched them last year. And everything when Tampa came up here to play. I'm really not ready to say that that Indianapolis is a run first team. Because I saw a lot of mixture in that offense. And this was even before Matt Ryan got there. This was with Carson Wentz. They were throwing the ball a lot too. So I mean, you might be looking at a 50-50 team, which if they're a 50-50 team, that's going to add some years onto your running back because you're not sending him into the wolves den, yeah, so to say, every time. So, I think that with the offense that Indianapolis is running, I think that that is why you almost have got to give the edge to Indianapolis over Tennessee. And look, I'm not saying that this is going to happen because I don't know. But I do know the head coach. I do know what he is capable of doing. And look, we might have to be putting the Houston Texans into that conversation come around mid-season. Because, Lovie Smith don't care what anybody says, and we are not gonna rehash this tonight. But Lovie Smith knows how to build football teams, and the Houston Texans, by promoting him and giving him the head coaching job, that is probably the smartest thing I've seen Houston do. And I'm gonna make another statement that had Lovie Smith been the head coach there over the last 2 years, I think Deshaun Watson's still in Houston.
You might be right on that, man. Listen, for everything, and I had this conversation with, somebody in one of the sports groups on Facebook and about Lovie Smith. And before I go into my, comment that I'm going to make, we're going to bring him in right now. We got left field correspondent Carlton Cook on the line with us. And I think this is Boss Hawk Sean Naylor on the other end again. My man, I think this is the same number he called from, but hey, we got him on the line with us to join us for the stretch run of the show. So before I go with my rant, I want to bring them both in. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on,
boy? How are we doing tonight?
William?
Hi.
Debo?
What's going on, man?
How y'all doing?
Doing good, brother. How you doing?
Hey, when you bring me in, it is not just Boss Hawk.
Oh boy. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Already. Already.
It's Boss Hawk, the defending Rat Pack Fantasy Champion.
Oh, and unfortunately,
I thought William won last year.
No. I won last year. William won the year before on a technicality. Because Sean McDermott benched Josh Allen.
and like me and you have talked about Boss Hog, when Sean McDermott did that, because I was ready to concede that game. I most certainly was. I